bad word. Somebody said that worry is interest paid on borrowed trouble before it comes due. Those who live in worry invite death in a hurry. Worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you don't get anywhere. The word worry, did you know where that word comes from? A root word, it's an Anglo-Saxon word that means strangle or choke. You know, when you're worried about your bills, or you're worried about your wife, or you're worried about one of your kids, or you're worried about your health, or you're worried about your salvation, and you just worry, something just worrying you, don't it kind of feel like something's choking you? Like just something just up around here, just you know, you can't stand it. You lose your appetite. Businessmen many times have to deal with this because the more money a person makes, the more responsibility they have, the more problems they have in dealing with the public, and then you don't know, how to make investments and all this kind of stuff. And that's why so many of them wind up maybe on drugs or committing suicide or something. They just can't handle all that pressure. They worry themselves to death. Now, in Luke chapter 10, the Lord was talking to these sisters here, Martha and Mary, the sisters of Lazarus who had died, or was getting ready to die, rather. And they began to serve there, and the Lord asked them a question. Look at verse number 39. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. There's the lady that didn't worry. The one that sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But look at this other woman here in verse 40. Look at her. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. She's all tore up and worried about it. And came to Him and said, Lord, dost Thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In verse 41, you know what the Lord was saying? Martha come to the Lord and she said, now Lord, I've got all this work to do and the house isn't clean and You're here and it's my guest and the dishes ain't done and the clothes ain't done and I'm going to have, and my sister, she's just sitting here listening to You and sitting at Your feet and all that. You know what the Lord told her? He said, Martha, you worry too much. That's your problem. Martha, you just worry too much. Just calm down. Now, Mary's getting what she needs to get while you're just running yourself crazy worrying about all these things. And too many of us are like that this morning. We worry about all the stuff. We don't have this done. We don't have that done. Company's coming. The house isn't clean. The clothes. Oh, no. The kids ain't taken care of. Who's going to do this? Who's going to help me with this baby? Who's going to help me with this? How am I going to get this done? Well, you know what you need to do? You need to realize that you're never going to get done everything you need to get done. The old house you live in is never going to be all fixed up right. By the time you get it all like you want it, something else is going to tire up. And it's always going to be something. People say, if I could just get these things caught up around here. How many times have you heard people say that? If I could just get caught up around here, preacher. Listen, you're never going to get caught up in this world. You're never going to get done all that you'd like to do. It's never ever all going to be right down here in this world. Just quit worrying about it and get what God wants you to have. Quit worrying. As a man told a man one time, he had a lot of money, and a guy came to him and he said, I need somebody to work for me. And the guy said, what do you want? And he said, I want somebody that'll take all my worry. And the guy said, okay. He said, I'll pay you $10,000 a year if you'll take all my worries. And he said, great, sir. And where are you going to get $10,000 a year? He said, that, my friend, is your first worry. And you're going to take all this off of me. It would be nice if we could get somebody to do our worrying for us, wouldn't it? Wouldn't that be a blessing? I know mothers worry about their kids. Oh, no. What's going to happen to my kids? Oh, no. I got a fellow who had been going to a psychiatrist long. He told somebody, he said, I'm the only fella in history that ever spent $10,000 on a couch and still don't own it. And all he's doing is just worrying, how am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Am I going to do this? Am I going to do that? Oh, there's a gray hair. Oh, no. It's over. What's going to happen to me? Well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about worry this morning. First thing I want to say is, what causes people to worry? What causes worry? Two or three things I'll mention. And I say this, but according to the Word of God, this convicts me as much as it's going to do you. This makes me feel guilty just like it's going to make you feel guilty. When you come right down to it, scripturally, when you come right down to it, it's sin for us to worry. People say all the time, you believe it's sin to worry, preacher? And I say, well, according to the Bible, the Lord said, be careful for nothing. Don't let our care... I mean, that's hard to swallow, isn't it? Because we all do it. I mean, does anybody in here never worry about anything? You know, I do. I do. And a lot of times I say, Lord, help me. Why do I go around? There's no use in this. What am I worried about? And I know there's a difference between being concerned. We are supposed to be concerned about our kids. We are supposed to be concerned about our bills. Concerned. But I'm talking about just fretting and rubbing your hands and walking the floors and taking medication just to keep you from just completely flipping your lid. That's not God's plan for us. What causes worry is unbelief. Unbelief. We simply just do not believe God's going to take care of us. Oh, no, preacher. What am I going to do? Oh, no, I barely made it through last year. How am I going to make it? They said one time there's this man, and this man, as soon as he got through eating a meal, he worried himself sick, worrying where his next meal was going to come from. He thought, what am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? Oh, no, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What am I going to eat? And all that. That man was in an insane asylum. They was going to give him 3 meals a day anyway. He was wasting his time worrying. They were going to take care of him. Now, do you know this morning that God promised to take care of you? Are you His child this morning? God promised to take care of you. Why do we worry? Why do we worry? Things happen. We get a bill from the IRS, or we get, you know, something from the government or from the hospital or the doctor or the bank. Something we say, you know, or your pump tires up. The reason I say that, because my pump's getting ready to tire up right now. When I turn on the shower, it goes, you know, it'll hit you, and it'll quit. And you'll think, what's the matter? It'll hit you again. And it's been doing that for a while, but it's getting worse and worse and worse. And I must be a little bit worried about it, or I wouldn't have thought about it right then. You know, it's not going to do any good. It's not going to fix that pump for me to worry about it. It's not going to make it any better. It's going to make me worse, right? It's unbelief. You know what they say? That a bat lives longer than, I guess, most small animals, lives 20 years. And the bat, you know what makes a bat live so long? Because a bat can go from 180 heartbeats down to 3 breaths every 8 minutes. Just like that. A bat can get so relaxed that it can take 3 breaths every 8 minutes. Now, if you could get to where you could do that, you'd live a long, long... You'd be 150, man, before you die. Can you imagine just kicking back, not having a care in the world, hanging upside down, just looking at the flowers and trees, and about every 3 minutes go... Can't hold it 2 minutes. 2 minutes later. 2 minutes later. You know what we do? Did you know worrying 2 hours will make you tireder than working 8 hours will? You can worry. You know you can worry fat off of your body. You really can't. I mean, the way to lose weight, you get all tore up over something, you just do it like, it burns calories, man. I mean, I don't know, it does something to metabolism. It just gets you start getting skinny. You just worry it off, amen? You say, well, Brother Danny, I must not worry very much. No, think how big you'd be if you did. My soul. What causes worry? What causes worry? It's unbelief. It's unbelief. You know what another thing about, you know another thing that causes worry? You know what causes us to worry? Trying to get ahead of each other. Trying to keep up with the Joneses. Have more, do more, be more. Have nicer house, nicer this. Too many people are worried about this rat race that the world is in for material things. You never, I'll tell you something you never see. You never see a bird fly over and peek around the tree and watch another bird build his nest and measure it and then go fly back over here and try to build a bigger nest than that bird over there. That bird don't care what his neighbor has. That bird don't care what size of nest his neighbor lives in. Who cares? I'll just build my nest. But people are not like that. They'll say, well, so-and-so got a new... Oh, they did, huh? Well, we'll ride down there. I'll get me another job, and we'll work overtime, and we'll get us one bigger than theirs. And that's what makes people in big, affluent, like Hollywood and places like that, always trying to get ahead of somebody, trying to get ahead. Did you hear about so-and-so? Their record sold more than you. Oh, they did, huh? Well, I'm going to make one that's going to sell more than theirs. That's those movie stars. They worry themselves sick, man. All you have to do is just mind your own business. Don't try to get ahead of your neighbor. No squirrel. You never saw a squirrel who died of anxiety because he didn't have enough nuts and acorns laid up for two winters. When a squirrel goes out this fall, they're going to get just enough acorns to do them this winter. That's all they're worried about. You know what our problem is? We say, well, I got to worry about when I'm 60 and when I'm 65 and when I'm... I hate to tell this to you this morning, but most of you ain't going to make it. You better worry about today and get your heart right with God today and trust the Lord about what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying it's wrong to prepare for the future. I'm not saying it's wrong to get ready, but we worry too much about it. We worry too much. Oh no, what am I going to do? There's no use in me sitting around here worrying about what I'm going to do when I'm 60. I got plenty enough to do to keep me busy today. Most of the stuff you worry about, you don't ever have to face anyway. You know what causes people to worry? It's what we call unreal situations. Your imagination. Your imagination will cause you to worry about things that you never... I heard about this preacher one time. He was like a sophisticated bishop or something like that, you know. And he was sitting on a train going somewhere. And this preacher had this morbid fear of being paralyzed. He had seen it happen to somebody and he worried about it all the time. He said, I just know one day I'm going to wake up and be paralyzed. And he's sitting on a train and he reached down to pinch his leg like that, you know. And pinch, he said, oh no. It's happened at last. No feeling in the right leg. It's happened. This lady beside him says, your grace, that's my leg you're pinching. You know what that guy's problem was? You know what that guy's problem was? He was too worried about something that was never going to happen. And if it is going to happen, you ain't going to stop it by worrying about it. Amen? Foolish imagination. Yep, all of you remember when you were little. Kids don't get these stories like we got when we was little. I remember my mom done us a great, great favor when I was growing up by reading stories to me and my two sisters. All you mothers ought to get open a little book. Don't trust the television to entertain your kids all the time. Get you some little story books and read them, all those Aesop's fables and Bible stories and all those little stories with morals. Those things are good. All them little McGuffey readers and stuff like that. Man, that's some tremendous stuff. And I remember when I was little, I heard the story, you probably heard it too, about the woman. They sent her down to the cellar to get some milk. And she went down to milk something, and she waited and waited and waited, and she never did come back, never did come back. Finally, somebody went down the step, and she was sitting down in the cellar steps just crying, just bawling her eyes out. And they said, what is wrong with you? And she said, oh, I came down to the cellar to get milk. And I noticed up in the rafters there's an axe, and the axe was sticking in the beam. And the thought struck me, what if one day I grew up and got married and I had a son and he grew up and the son came down to the cellar. You ever heard this little story? Man, you're missing it, ain't you? Has anybody ever heard this story besides me? Okay. Then she said, what if he comes down here to get, when he gets grown, she's not married, she don't have a son. She said, what if he comes down here when he's grown and comes to get milk and that axe falls and hits him in the head and kills him? Oh! And her daddy come down and said, what's wrong? And she said, I just got to thinking, what if I had grown up and got married and I had a son and my son grew up and my son came down the cellar to get milk and the axe fell out and hit him in the head and killed him? And the daddy sits down and starts bawling. Then the mama come down the steps. What's wrong with y'all? Oh, I just thought if I had a son and the son grew up and he come down here to get milk out of the cellar and the axe fell and hit him in the head and killed him. The mama sits down and starts bawling. You know what that is? That's about like us a lot of time. We think, oh no, what if this was to happen? Oh no, what if that was to happen? Oh no, what if that... Listen, the Bible said, take no thought for tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. You've got plenty to do today with all your burdens and all your problems. Forget about tomorrow. You can take care of tomorrow when he gets here. Unreal situations cause us to worry. You ladies that stay by yourself at night while your husband's on the second shift or the third shift, you hear something outside. Oh no. And then an old movie you watched 10 years ago comes right back to your mind. I know it's that big boogeyman. He's got a chainsaw. He's going to come busting through the door at any minute and saw me in half. I just know it. I know it. And you done got it all. You know what? People worry themselves to a frenzy over an unreal situation. The dog knocks something over outside, you know. You just know it's Freddy or Jason or somebody like that. They're out there. I know it. You men, do the same thing about your job. Listen, you say, well, I made a good living this year, but boy, I just don't know about next year. What would happen if my income dropped and how would I pay for all this and all that? What am I going to do? I tell you what you'll do. You'll do the same thing next year as you had to do this year. You're going to have to trust God to take care of you. The Lord's got to take care of you. Good night. You're going to have a little bit of faith and realize the Lord's going to give me enough strength to work. And if this job don't work out, He'll take care of me. If He takes care of them squirrels and lets acorns grow on them trees and He takes care of them dogs. Listen, my dog, we got an old dog down there at the house and we got it as a puppy for my two little girls last Christmas. And son, that thing didn't stay no puppy 3 weeks. I mean, it's this big now, and boy, they named it Yogi. That dog. He's a good old dog, really, but I don't know what all he is. He's just jet black, and boy, that old dog, he'll lay out there on the carport, and he does not walk back and forth, saying, what am I going to eat, what am I going to eat, what am I going to eat, what am I going to eat? He knows that my wife or my daughter or one of us, he knows that eventually one of us is going to throw something out there, and he's going to eat it. I mean, brother, he don't say, what if they forget me, what if they forget me, what if they forget me? He don't even worry about it. He lays down and goes to sleep. And when food hits a carport, he gets up and eats it. And then he goes back and goes to sleep again. Boy, that's you know what's wrong with us? We say, oh no, what's it going to come to? What's it going to come to? I just do that for an old dog, man, that don't even have a soul. How much more shall our Heavenly Father in heaven, looking down on us, we're His children, brother. He's God. Quit worrying. Well, let God take care of you. Let the Lord take care of you. Secondly, let me say some dangers of worry. You know what worrying will do to you? First of all, it'll make you weak today. Corrie Ten Boom said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. In other words, when you're worrying about tomorrow, it's not going to help tomorrow a bit. It's going to mess today up worse. I heard Dr. Ruckman say on a tape some time ago, he said this. He said, the best way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. The best way not to be ready for tomorrow is sit around and worry about it. The best way to be ready for tomorrow is do what you're supposed to do today. You know how I can know that I'll be where God wants me tomorrow? If I do what I'm supposed to do today. Now today, I've got to finish preaching here this morning. I've got to do some things this afternoon. I have to leave about 4:30 going to an ordination service for Brother Gerald. And they're going to ordain him at 5 o'clock up there. Then I'm going to come back here to youth choir. And then I'm going to preach again tonight. Lord willing, go home and pray with the kids. And they're going to go to school in the morning. And I'm taking off to Delaware. The way I know that I can be where I ought to be in Delaware tomorrow is be what I'm supposed to be today.
Now, if I'm not what I'm supposed to be today, then all day tomorrow I'm going to think, oh, Lord, I'm out of God's will. Oh, no, I'm messed up. Do what you're supposed to do today. Read your Bible today. Pray today. Live right today. Witness today. And you'll be where you're supposed to be tomorrow at this time. Worry empties day of its strength. Our preacher used to say a long time ago, you've heard me say it many times, don't ever forget this. Too many people let the failures of yesterday, the fears of tomorrow, rob them of the joy of serving God today. You can't do nothing about yesterday. If you put a dent in your car yesterday, all the crying that you can do will not take that dent out. If you broke your foot yesterday, you can worry about you can wring your hands till you wring the skin off of them, and it's not going to unbreak your foot. And now we no use to be scared to face today because of what happened tomorrow. I'll tell you something else, the dangers of worry, it makes you do things just to impress people. They say at 20 you don't care what people think about you. At 30 you worry about what the world thinks, and at 40 you find out they wasn't even thinking about you at all. You know that? When you're young, you think, well, what will people think? What will people think? What will people think? They ain't going to think nothing. You're not that important. I heard them girls fussing out there a while ago. They wasn't fussing. They're saying something about having a dress like, you got to dress like me. 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 So what? Wear them all three. I don't care. It's not going to be that big of a deal. See? I've heard people say, I will not buy that dress because so-and-so's got one. You're not that important. I mean, people don't even notice that stuff. One or two might, but who cares? If you like it, buy it, amen? And listen. People ain't thinking about you as much as you think they are. You say, well, if I do this, Brother Danny, what will people think? Who cares? If I just done what I thought people be impressed with, son, I'd be a nut and a half. Some want me to do this, some want me to do that, some want me to be still, some want me to run around, some want me to scream, holler, some want me to talk quiet. I'm just going to do what I believe God wants me to do and not worry what people think about me. 9 out of 10 times, worrying about something does more damage than the thing itself. Did you know worrying can break down your resistance to disease and weaken your physical system, cause you to get sick? Sleepless nights and lack of eternal sunshine in your soul can literally open your body up to physical ailments. People that worry a lot get sick easier than people that don't. Finally, solutions. You say, well, I know you just preached this for me, Brother Danny, because I'm the world's worst worrier. Okay, here's your solution. Instead of worrying about the future, prepare for it. Instead of worrying about what you can't do, do what you can do. What if we was building this building? And it's getting dark. And we was laying block. I remember when they was laying this block on this wall here. I remember them boys putting up this rock here. I was standing out here and watching them as they went up. Man, so slow. I thought it'd take forever to get that wall right there built. Some big, thick rock. I remember the guys nailing up this sheetrock. I'll never forget. I remember the painting. I remember the carpet being put down. What if I said, oh no, we just can't get it done. We just can't get it done. We just can't get it done. You're never going to get it done like that. The only way you're going to get it done, just roll up your sleeves and go at it and say, God, I'm going to do the best I can. And usually you watch and see if God don't somehow work it out. If you'll do what you can do, God will do what you can't do. If you'll do what you're able to do, the Lord will do the rest. You do your best, the Lord will do the rest. You do what's right, you do your best. Listen, you can lay down. I've heard Dr. Ruckman say that too. He said, if you've done the best you can do, then lay down and go to sleep and forget about it. Now, if you haven't done your best, ask forgiveness and do your best. But if you've done your best, forget it. Forget it. Forget it. I heard about a man who was in public speaking one time, and he said every time he gave a public speech, he lost 2 nights sleep. The night before, he worried about what he was going to say. The night after, he worried about how much better he should have said it. We need to have a little bit of that philosophy of we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Amen? There's a businessman one time who run a business, and this may help some of you businessmen. He made him a worry chart. And he wrote down all the things that he worried about for his business. And you know what? He checked off them things and he found out that 40% of all the things he worried about never did happen. He worried about all these things. 30% more concerned past decisions that he'd already made and couldn't change. 12% was about others' criticism of his work. 10% were about his health. And that left 8% that was legitimate to care about. 8 out of 100 things that you worry about really is the only thing you should care about. 92% of it is just a waste and torment in your own mind. 92%. Remember the scripture. The Lord said, the sparrow, not one sparrow falls to the ground without your heavenly Father. I wonder how many sparrows there are. I have no idea. I guarantee there's a slew of them. Wonder how many sparrows there are in this world. Did you know if a sparrow flew out in front of a Ford Bronco in Birmingham, Alabama at 1 o'clock this afternoon, and it does that, and that thing kills it, the Lord puts it down. And if another one in Germany died this morning, the Lord put it down. And if another one in Australia died today, put that down. And another one in Texas died today, he put that down. Now, if God watches every single sparrow, don't you think that the Lord is watching over you and your kids and your situation? I believe, you know, my girls at home, they know Daddy's going to take care of it. Carissa and Corey, they don't get up in the morning and say, oh no, are we going to have anything to eat? Are we going to have anything to eat? Are we going to is the house going to be warm this winter? They don't even think about it because they know that I'm going to provide for them. And I ain't no father at all compared to the Father you got this morning. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. Our helper amid the flood. Our mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great. Armed with cruel hate. On earth is not his equal. We've got an enemy. We've got the devil. But we've got a heavenly Father that's more powerful than the devil looking after us this morning. You know, your solution to worry is remember them scriptures. God has the hairs on your head numbered. Do you know if you have a blonde-haired girl has more hair than a dark-haired girl? I guess they're maybe thin or something. I don't know, but that's what I read. And they lose about 100 a day. Son, I got 4 blondes in my house. Son, you can rake it up off a carpet. No, it ain't that bad. It's their hair, man. Their hair. I picked up a brush before and went, where's the little sprigs in this brush? Buried in there somewhere. Now, you know something? The Lord's got all them hairs numbered. All right, here goes Corey. She has on her head 175,286 hairs. And they get her down brushing. Her hair gets, you know, they go swimming and it gets knotted and everything. They pull that brush to it and jerk it up. Jerk like it and everything. She's, ow! So I've seen them crying and everything. You know, I've jerked her hair before, you know, and put a hair dryer on it. And I said, hurry, honey, we got to go. Ow! Then be just both of them squalling. And the Lord says, all right, deduct 4 hairs from Corey Castle's head. Now, he does that for everybody in the world. That's a lot. I mean, you know, I know for some of you, it don't take very much for him to count. Well, old John there, he's got 3 today instead of 4. You know, I saw a bumper sticker on the back of somebody's car one time that says, God has all the hairs on your head numbered. And in parentheses it said, and your wig too. Amen. Amen, brother. God knows all of that. God knows it. You know something I believe? I don't really have proof for this, but I firmly believe it. I believe one of the best solutions to your worrying problem is don't lose your sense of humor. I believe a sense of humor is invaluable. I believe you should never get to the place where you can't laugh at yourself. On the deepest, darkest, I mean, you know, just lose everything you got, lose your job and everything. Don't, listen, man, you're going to flip out and go to the nut house if you take it too serious. You say, well, maybe I can't pay my bills and car payments due and everything. Lord, I mean, that's the way to do. That's the way to do. Just get a good life. That's right. I like that old lady years ago. And they said, don't you ever worry. She's 90 years old, an old black lady that worked for all of her life, and she never had a problem. And they said, how do you do that, sister? And she said, when I works hard. When I sits easy. And when I worries, I goes to sleep. That's all right. That's right. Bible says, cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Keep your sense of humor. Just say, glory to God anyhow. Amen. I found that to be true. I found that to be true. The door or something bad happened. Just say, listen, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I will trust and not be afraid. I'll not let this world get me down. I'll not live under my circumstances. By His grace, I'll trust Him and shout right on and go right on through the glory. Be able to shout through your problems and not let the devil get you down. It is His will that I should cast my care on Him each day. He also bids me not to cast my confidence away. But oh, how foolishly I act when taken unaware. I cast away my confidence and carry all my care. That's how foolish we get sometimes. What we really need to do is just say, Lord, I'm trusting You. I want you to get your hymn books. And I want Brother John to come. And I want everybody to get a hymn book and turn to number 131. Number 131. And the words to this old song, I want to be more real to you than they've ever been. And if God is dealing with your heart, and you say, Brother Danny, I've got tough decisions coming up. I've got a terrible situation on my hands. I worry all the time about my health. I worry all the time about my bills. How am I going to make it? How is my job going to turn out? What's going to happen to my kids? All of that. You just bring all your care. The Lord said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's sing that old song together. Mean it. If you want to come and pray, you come. Let's stand. Everybody sing now.
It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word.
Come on, just cast all your care upon the Lord. Just rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Come on.
Jesus, how I trust Him.
Yes, that's right. That's right, come. That's right, come on.
More and more.
Amen.
Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace. To trust Him more.
All right, let's sing, everybody. Come on.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge beneath the healing cleansing flood.
Everybody.
Jesus, how I trust Him. How I prove Him o'er and o'er. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Most of the things we worry about is a waste of time. There's one thing for sure, worrying about it ain't going to change it. Pray about it. You can see here this morning by this altar being full that what I preached on this morning is not something that don't bother a lot of people. It's a natural tendency of ours. We got to see it. We got to feel it. We have to touch it. But the Lord says, by faith, the just shall live by faith. The Lord don't always show you what's out there tomorrow. He wants you to trust Him. He wants you to learn how to believe and lean on Him. He don't always reveal to you way down the road. Sometimes just one step at a time. Will you trust Him? All of you that are standing here this morning, will you just say, hey, I'm going to quit worrying about my bills and everything. Just work hard and do my best. Go home, go to sleep. That's the way the sparrow does. That's the way a dog or a fox or a squirrel or a rabbit does. That's the way the Lord wants us to trust Him. Will you do it? Let's sing, Brother John. Everybody.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me.
Will be.
Will be with me till the end.
Sing.
Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I've proved Him more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
These are still praying this morning while we wait silently. I'd like for you to just bow your head. Just have a word of prayer here with these this morning. Have you learned to trust Him this morning? Learn to trust Him. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Till the storm passes by. I can tell you this, brother, if you're going through a storm, God knows exactly where you are. He's got His eye on you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. You'll come out. You'll come out on the other side as gold tried in the fire. If you'll just trust Him and stay right. Just don't look back. Don't look to this world for help or instruction. Get it from the Lord, from His Word. You'll make it through. Don't get scared now and bail out and go back into sin and try to get... No, that ain't the right way to do. Trust Him. Trust Him. Our Heavenly Father, thank You so much for speaking our hearts this morning through Your Word. Thank You for this thought, Lord, that You gave me for this message today. Pray that You'd bless now these that have come. Whatever burden, whatever trial they're facing. I know some of them's facing big decisions and difficult times and maybe even bankruptcy or I don't know what all. Physical ailments, cancer, disease. Dear God, help us to know that we can trust You through anything. Romans 8:28 is still in the book. And our Heavenly Father taketh care of oxen and the field. Lord, we know You'll take care of us. And help us to learn to trust You and not be so careful and troubled about it, so many other things. Meet with us again this evening. We'll bless Your name for it in Jesus' name. Amen.